CD 9. Peg Looney smiled up at Chuck Hackensmith. Thank you, she said. Chuck threw a golden grin over his well-muscled shoulder and picked up the handle of the red metal wagon that Peg was sitting in. Here we go, he cried with typical verve to his fiancée, and then the cold marble athlete leapt to life. At the end, when Peg was too sick to walk, Chuck would put her in a wagon and take her around the neighbourhood, remembered Peg's niece, Darlene. Peg's sister, Jean, agreed. He would just put her in the little red wagon and take her all over. But no matter how broad Chuck's grin was as he pulled that wagon, no matter how determined he became to put a brave face on what was happening, he couldn't conceal his true feelings. He was devastated with the whole thing, recalled Darlene sadly. The entire family felt the same. For by the summer of 1929, red-haired Peg Looney was not at all well. The teeth extractions that never healed had only been the start of it. She developed anemia, and then this pain had settled in her hip, so that now she could barely walk. Thus the little red wagon that Chuck had commandeered to take her up to the shack or along to Starved Rock. He was awful kind, but then he loved her fiercely. They were going to be married next June. Chuck and his red wagon couldn't be there all the time, though. When Peg went to the Radium studio, she had to walk. Her sister Jean remembered the way that she and all the Looney siblings would look out for her coming home. We'd all be sitting out on our porch, just watching for her because she looked so bad walking, said Jean. She'd be struggling all the way home. We'd run to meet her. Each one would have an arm to help her. When she reached home, borne along by her siblings, Peg could no longer assist her mother with the housework as she once had. She would simply have to lie down and rest. Her mother felt terrible watching her daughter's decline. Peg was wasting away, and her family watched in horror as she pulled teeth and parts of her jaw from her mouth. In the end, her parents scraped together the money to take her to a doctor in Chicago. The city physician told her she had a honeycomb jaw and that she should change employment. Perhaps Peg planned to look for a new job when she felt better. Yet Peg was smart. She knew she wasn't getting better. Though the Ottawa doctors seemed clueless, one who treated her in June 1929 simply put an ice pack on her chest, Peg herself seemed to divine what was happening. She knew she had to go, recalled Peg's mother sadly. You could see her slowly dying. There was nothing you could do. Well, Mother, she used to say, my time is nearly up. It wasn't just her hip or teeth that caused her agonizing pain. It was her legs, her skull, her ribs, her wrists, her ankles. Though she'd been ill for months, every day she still went to work to paint those dials. To the end, she was a conscientious girl. Radium dial. Warned by care that Peg's was a special case in which the government was particularly interested, watched her very closely. They knew she had tested positive for radioactivity in 1925 and 1928. They knew from their own medical tests exactly what was wrong with her. And so, when Peg collapsed at work on 6th of August 1929, Mr. Reed made arrangements for her to be admitted to the company doctor's hospital.